mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not sure if it's a good idea to start on side notes before we actually start, but I got two side notes. First of all, for those of you who don't know me, haven't been here before, normally on a Sunday, I don't dress like this. Sometimes it's worse. I'm just trying to get that picnic spirit going. And secondly, didn't Anna do a fantastic job? It's tough sometimes going out and doing things you've never done before. It's difficult, too, sometimes doing things you haven't done for a while. And sometimes learning new things can be difficult, too. I know in our educational system, there are some things that have changed over the past couple of years since I've been in school. One of which is they're starting to eliminate different things that aren't considered necessarily needful. One of those being cursive writing. Now, I can understand this to a certain extent because we don't use cursive writing that much. We, as in people who are in school, that we. Because think about it. What do you use cursive writing for? You have to sign your name, yeah. Write to grandma, yeah. You do that on email, though, don't you? But, you know, it becomes that whole thing of how do we communicate nowadays? We don't write letters. We do email, we do Snapchat, we do Facebook, we do FaceTime, we do what other things? Twitter, Instagram, yeah. There's all kinds of different ways we communicate, but the letter writing process really doesn't happen a whole lot, not on a personal level. And it's kind of a shame. It's a shame because there's a lot, I think, that gets lost there. I read biographies, and one of the richest troves of information biographers get of individuals is through their personal letters, because they know exactly what's going on within their minds at certain given times during certain periods of time within their lives. Now, you have to have a forensic study of a laptop or go swimming up in some electronic cloud somewhere if you ever hope to be able to get that sort of information. That's presuming your computer doesn't crash and destroy everything that you've typed since 1995. So it's a little bit of a different world. Because of that, I guess cursive is kind of on its way out. Now, I don't necessarily have a problem with that because I realized why they named cursive the way they did. Because when they were trying to teach it to me, what I found is it elicited curses from certain people. Not me, of course, but others. You know, those first graders can be awfully nasty sometimes. But during that process of learning cursive, and I don't know if this has gotten lost too, is process of learning how to write a letter. And I can remember growing up having to write a letter to my parents with my lovely cursive skills. And so you start with the date, and then you have the address to which you're sending it to, and then you have the salutation, and then you have that opening greeting line, and then you have the body, and then you have the close, and then you have the valedictorian statement. And I didn't know this. Actually, I couldn't remember that it was called a valedictorian statement, but it is, because that's the way you close it. That's why when we have graduations, we have valedictorians, because they're closing things out for the students at the graduation. So the most common of those closing valedictorian statements is what? Sincerely, or sincerely yours. Began to think about that. It's kind of an odd closing. Because what are you telling them? Yes, I am sincerely telling you the truth here. You're going to write a letter of lies? So why do we sincerely close our letters? Because we want people to know we're genuine. We want to know we're truthful. We want them to know that what I wrote in this letter comes from my heart, and I really mean it. Sincerely. I think in today's gospel lesson, Jesus was looking for a little sincerity. He wanted something that came from the heart. The Pharisees were giving him and his disciples all kinds of grief because they didn't do what Mama told them to do. They didn't wash their hands before dinner. Now, it wasn't Mama that started this. It was God who started this in terms of the collection of different laws and precepts that came from the Torah, from the books of Moses. And one of those was cleansing rituals, things you needed to do to prepare for certain things. And one of them was you washed your hands before you ate. You also washed your food before you ate it. Because cleanliness is, after all, exactly. You guys are good. And so they saw the disciples were plucking things from different things and just going ahead and munching away. And, well, can't be having that, Rabbi. Listen, Jesus, you know the rules. You know what's supposed to be. Why are you letting your disciples do all these things that don't fit in with our law, that don't fit in with our tradition, that don't make you very Jewish after all? Might even be a Samaritan for all we know. And so Jesus' retort is one in which calls into question the thinking of the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees spent a lot of time learning and studying and understanding what the law was, and so they understood that what needed to be done had to be done in a certain way, and they were more than welcome to be able to share that information with anybody who wanted to listen, and even those who didn't want to listen. And so everything they brought forth out of this knowledge. Jesus said, not coming from the heart. That's the question that raises for us. What comes from the heart? You know, we love to use the heart as this romantic sort of thing where all these good and gracious things come from, where love comes from the heart and everything's so good and wonderful and everything else. But Jesus is telling us that it's not just the good things. In fact, he closes this gospel out with a whole list of really bad things. Murder, slander, avarice, licentiousness. I had to look a couple of these up. I didn't know what they meant. But adultery, theft, fornication, all these nasty things that you're not supposed to be doing, especially if you're a Pharisee. That's where Jesus took his foot and kicked him in the teeth. Because they had to have taken a bit of umbrage about this one. After all, they're the Pharisees. They're the wise and knowledgeable ones. They're the holy ones. They're the ones everybody looks up to and says, oh, there's the closest thing to God that you can be. Here Jesus is telling them, yeah, you might say the right thing. You got all this sewage coming out of you doing all the wrong things. But what's that have to do with us? Not Pharisees. Not all the time. But each and every day we go through life, whether it's our heart or our brain that's operating, we have that thing within us that questions what we might do at any given time. Do we choose good or do we choose evil? Do we choose love? Do we choose hatred? And the bottom line for us is God demands of us always choose love. And that is the single most difficult demand that God places. Choosing love. Because it's easy to hate. It's hard to love. Especially some of the unlovable people we encounter in our lives. And yet that is exactly what Jesus was challenging the Pharisees with at that moment, and that is what Jesus challenges us each and every day. Do we choose to love or do we choose to hate? Do we choose to do good or do we choose to do evil? Do we choose to serve others or do we choose to serve ourselves? And in that moment, at the time, each time we make that decision, we're deciding whether we're going to be on the side of God or on the side of ourselves. We're going to choose whether we're going to be a Pharisee or we're going to be a follower of Jesus. Because it is the sincerity that we hold that comes from our heart that helps us in those choices and those decisions that we make. We are like the Pharisees because we know the words. We know what's right. We know what we're supposed to do. We know how it all lines up. We're not negligent in terms of our understanding. But it's putting that into action that makes the difference. It is about making that choice to be a child of God and to serve God through not only what we say, more significantly, through what we do. So each and every day we're forced to make that choice. And that's just the way it works. We choose whether to serve God or whether to serve ourselves. Whether to allow our hearts to be filled with God's goodness and love, or whether we're going to have it filled with the evil that sends us off into a place we shouldn't be. The choice and decision we have to make. We as individuals. The choice and a decision you'll have to make probably before you get out to your car in the parking lot. Just think about it. Think about where you want your heart to be. Think about where you want your actions to be and what you want them to reflect. Clearly yours.